Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 19, King Ayati Achieves Liberation, Text Number 14. Najatu Kama Kamanam Upabhogena Shamyati Havisha Krishna Vartmeva Puya Eva Bivardite Na Not Jatu at any time Kama Lusty desires Kamanam a persons who are very lusty Upabhogena by enjoyment of lusty desires Samyati can be pacified. Havisha by supplying butter. Krishna Vartma fire. Iva like. Bhuya again and again. Eva indeed. Abhivartate increases more and more. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As supplying butter to a fire does not distinguish the fire, but instead increases it more and more, the endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. In fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desires. Prabhupada. One may have enough money and enough resources to satisfy the senses, but still not be satisfied. For the endeavor to stop lusty desires by enjoying can never be successful. The example given here is very appropriate. One cannot stop a blazing fire by trying to extinguish it with butter. Text 15. Idana kurite bhavam sarva bhutesh va mangalam samadrishtes tatha pumsa sarva sukha maya disha. When a man is not envious and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. Purport. Prabodhananda Saraswati said, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. When one becomes Krishna conscious, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, for him the entire world appears happy. He has nothing for which to hanker. On the Brahma-Buddha stage, or the platform of spiritual realization, there is no lamentation and no material hankering, nishoshati, nikangshati. As long as one lives in the material world, actions and reactions will continue, but when one is unaffected by such material actions and reactions, he is to be considered free from the danger of being victimized by material desires. The symptoms of those who are satiated with lusty desires are described in this verse. As explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one is not envious even of his enemy and does not expect honor from anyone, but instead desires all well-being, even for his enemy, he is understood to be a paramahansa, one who has fully subdued the lusty desires for sense gratification. This idea of seeing everyone equally comes by realization, and the realization comes from following the process. In other words, Krishna is certainly willing to give everyone the realizations in Krishna consciousness. In other words, to uncover our original consciousness, pure consciousness. But we have to become deserving of that. And to become deserving, we have to follow the process to the best we can. It's not expected that those who are unqualified will immediately become qualified just by following the process. But by following the process, one will gradually become qualified. Understand things as they are. and things as they are is quite simple. Krishna keeps on saying the same thing over and over again. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shini Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshanaha. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog, and the dog eater, also the elephant. So that's the reality, is that, as Krishna has explained from the very beginning, everyone is eternal spiritual being, 1/10,000th the size of tip here in size, in the heart of whatever body we may have to, we're inhabiting at the present moment. And every living entity is the same, whether, as Prabhupada writes in one purport, in the tip of a pin there are millions of germs, and each one of those germs has a soul within it, or all the way up to Brahma, who's on top of the universe. All of them, we're all spiritual beings, and we're all equally spiritual beings. We all have the potential to reawaken fully our relation with Krishna, although we can never lose our relation with Krishna. That's not possible, because we can't do anything without Krishna. At the moment we have a relation with Krishna, it's just not so much in line with Krishna that we're aware of Krishna. Krishna doesn't reveal himself unless one agrees to become his loving servant. Otherwise, there's no sense. Krishna reveals himself in proportion to our desire to become his servant. Even we come to the position of Kamsa. Now, Kamsa was seemingly Krishna conscious, because everywhere he looked, he saw Krishna and Balaram. Even when he saw his wives, Suti and Prasuti, he thought they were Krishna and Balaram, and he took out his sword and he was going to kill them. He said, "Krishna and Balaram, you're dead." He said, "Wait a second, Kamsa. We're your wives. We're not Krishna and Balaram." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, it's..." But he was not Krishna conscious. His feelings were not out of love. That's not why he was remembering Krishna. It was out of fear. Now, out of fear, by remembering Krishna, he became purified. So he was able to achieve Brahman realization. But that's not Kaivalya Narakariyate. According to Prabodhananda Saraswati, to merge in Brahman is considered to be like going to hell, because there's no activity there. It's pleasurable because there's no anxiety either, because our whole anxiety is centered around the fact that we think we're this body, and we think we're this body because we're covered by illusion, and we're covered by illusion because we're desiring to gratify our senses, and therefore the material nature is putting us in illusion. Because without being an illusion, no one could want to gratify their senses. One sees punak punas charvita charvananam is simply chewing the chewed, just like in India they have the sugar cane wallahs. And they have a machine that grinds the sugar cane, and then you get the sugar cane juice. If you go to India, you can get sugar cane juice, but make sure they clean the machine, or else you might get a few other things like crushed flies and things like that, along with your sugar cane juice. Add a little extra protein, they don't charge you anything for it. Extra. Sweet flies. But they're very economical. They're very frugal in India. So the sugarcane wala, which means the sugarcane seller, he takes the sugarcane, he folds it, and the machine is crushing the sugarcane, and some sugarcane juice comes out. And he'll do it over and over again until nothing at all comes out, not even one drop. Then they just put it off to the side and let the cows come and chew on it. So the cows come and chew on the sugar cane, and there's no sugar cane juice, so they spit it out. So another cow comes and sees some, that same chewed sugar cane, and he thinks maybe there's something left, and he puts it in his mouth and spits it out. So all day long, cows are walking by, picking up the same chewed sugar cane and chewing it again and again and again. But there's no juice. They're just working their jaws. So similarly, the material world is like that. Punat punas charavita charavananam. We're chewing the same thing over and over again. And therefore, if the cows had any intelligence, they'd think, well, why should I chew something that has no juice in it? It's already been chewed many, many times. Therefore, there can't possibly be any juice left. Similarly, in the material world, people are trying to get some juice out of material existence and chewing the same thing over and over again. And they think this time there's going to be some real special juice in it. Maha, maha, kal prasad. But there is no juice. And therefore they're disappointed and morose. I thought I was going to be happy by chewing on the dried up sugar cane juice. Sugar cane, there's no juice, but I chewed on it anyhow. And lo and behold, I was disappointed. I thought I was going to be in heaven, but actually I'm in hell. Therefore, after trying to chew sex life for some time, when it doesn't work, then one takes intoxication. One tries to imagine that one is flying in the sky when one is intoxicated. And when one comes down, one is not flying in the sky anymore. One has crashed on the earth. Therefore, one has to take more and more intoxication. And in order to do that, one has to gamble one's life in order to get the money to supply the money for the intoxication. And life goes on in the material world. Hope against hope for happiness. And then people say, well, I'm not happy. Everyone else is happy. All the billboards, people are smiling. The only people who are not smiling is me. I'm miserable. Life is unfair. Everyone, the whole world is unhappy except for me. But actually, if one becomes happy, then one sees the whole world is happy. Because everything is working perfectly according to Krishna's arrangement. And Krishna has a perfect arrangement to encourage living entities to go back to the spiritual world. And therefore, everything is going on perfectly. The whole material world is a huge machine meant to elevate the living entities to the highest platform of consciousness, if at all they're willing to do so. That's all they have to be willing to make some spiritual advancement, towards the goal of life. And the material world will help lift one up. And it doesn't do so in the most pleasant ways. For instance, a child wants to put his hand into the fire, and he keeps on insisting, I'm going to put my hand in the fire. And the father says, don't do it, you'll get hurt. No, I'm going to do it. As soon as you tell me I'm not going to do it, I'm going to do it. Don't do it, I'm going to do it. Why didn't you tell me? I did tell you. You didn't tell me hard enough. You should have prevented me from doing it. Well, do you want to put your hand? No, don't. So that's way of learning, is by experience. The father says, don't do it. The child says, oh, you tell me I'm going to do it. I'll show you, I'm going to do it. Why didn't you tell me? That hurt. And the rascal, like the dog, he comes to the table, he wants to get some food, but the people living eating at the table, they don't want the dog to come and take their food. So what they do is they take their newspaper, and when the dog comes to the table, the guy, whack, and the dog goes, wah, and he runs away. But the dog has no brains, or very little brains. And he forgets, 5 minutes later, he forgot that he got hit. And he goes back to the table. And then, whack! And he runs away again. So, the whole meal is going on. Whack! Because he can't remember. He's so much, he's been taken, his intelligence has been stolen by illusion. So he can't remember he got hit. So at least we should be second class. We're insisting on doing something that's going to cause us so much problems. And then we get stung. And the next time, oh no, no, I won't do it again. For at least a while, little while, as long as I have some memory. And when it goes away, then I'll try it once more again. Maybe this time it will be different. That's called madness. You do the same thing over and over and over again. You get the same result. You think one more time, maybe I'll get a different result. So, in order to see everyone equally, as it says here, we have to give up the idea that we are here to exploit the material nature, either gross or subtly. Because even when we want to just, I don't want to exploit anyone, I'm just going to exploit the gross energy. But we have to exploit people to get the gross energy. So therefore we see everyone as friends and enemies, whether they're helping me exploit the material nature or they're impeding my exploitation of the material nature. If someone is my friend, it means in the material world, it means he's assisting me in getting what I want to fulfill my material desires. So they're my friends. And if someone is an obstacle or they're threatening, either gross or subtly, my sense gratification, they become my enemy. And my enemy becomes my friend when he helps my sense gratification. My friend becomes my enemy when they become impediments to my sense gratification, like Samishta and Devayani. They were friends. But as soon as put on the clothes of Devayani, Devayani immediately, because of her false ego, started to criticize her. You rascal, how can you wear my clothes, my sacred clothes? You're just like a dog trying to get the clarified butter from the sacrifice. And because of Saramishta's false ego, she took Devayani and threw her in a well. Now I know sometimes the ladies fight, even here, but they don't do that. Of course, it would be hard for them to pick up the other lady and throw them in a well, because there are no wells around here to throw them into. Luckily. In any case, that mentality is what we have to give up, that I am the proprietor of these things, and that those who help me get more and more to fulfill my desires, they're my friends, and those who take things away from me, they're my enemies. If someone says a nice word to me, they immediately become my friend. And if someone criticizes me forever and ever, they're my enemy. Then one can actually, if one is not interested in material desires, but how is that possible? Only if one is actually developing consciousness of Krishna. Only if one is actually, when we're hearing and chanting about Krishna, we're doing it in such a way as we actually appreciate it. It's not like a hard task. We actually relax a little bit and we actually try to feel Krishna's presence and remember what the mood is. The mood of Vrindavan is I'm not working 24 hours a day to get some prasadam. They're working spontaneously out of love. So the whole mood of Vrindavan is love. So the whole mood of all these books that we have is that of love, prema, real love. So we should try to enter into that. We should read the books, and if we're actually understanding them, then we're entering into that mood of love. That's what they're instructing us. And if we're reading them, this is so boring with same old philosophy. I can't stand reading these books. It's such an austerity. It doesn't make any sense. It's so dry. Jnana vijnana trip dharma. Oh, God. No, we have to. If we're reading in that mood, then it'll remain dry to us. It'll remain some kind of just dry austerity. restrain my senses from their objects. How barbaric. No, if we realize that ultimately restrain the senses from their, but fix the consciousness upon Krishna. Without fixing upon the consciousness upon Krishna, without being happy to be in Krishna's association, not that why is Krishna God, why am I not God, why isn't he share a little bit, why can't I be God for a day, he can be God for the rest of the year. Why so much I had to remain a servant forever? How depressing. Just an ordinary servant. 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary's size. That's even more depressing. I'm so tiny. So insignificant. Even if someone stepped on me, they wouldn't even notice it. And I'm equal to everyone. Everyone is equal to me. I can't get better than anyone. This whole material, I've been wasting my time since time immemorial. Trying to get better, I've just wasted so much time. It's not fair. I deserve to be better than everyone. I put in such an effort to become better. No one has to relax a little bit. Realize we're very tiny, and Krishna is very great. But he's unlimitedly beautiful. He's unlimitedly pleasurable, and we can experience unlimited pleasure, unlimited happiness, unlimited awareness. Or we can actually make our lives useful rather than complaining, oh, why am I so tiny? Can I get bigger? Why does everyone pick on me? It's unfair. I'm a good person. No one has to give up the victim mentality and realize, tatte nukampam sasamikshamano punjane vatmakritam vipakam ridvag bhagbir vididan manaste We want Krishna's compassion. We think, why should I put myself in such a position? Someone has to be compassionate to me. How degrading. I should be strong. No, we want Krishna's compassion because we want to become worthy of his compassion. That actually, I'm in a very miserable condition. However great I may think I am, I'm in this body which is simply meant to torture me. It's not meant for my pleasure. It's meant to give me all kinds of problems and pain and suffering until I utilize it completely in Krishna's service, and then the body turns spiritual. In the meantime, one has to realize that unless I serve Krishna, unless I utilize this body in Krishna's service, then there is no end to the problems I'm going to face. So we want to be in that mood, trinada pisani chena treva sihishna, being humble, that I'm not a great personality, because I'm not even, on what basis could I be a great personality? I'm not the body. I can only judge how great I am by my body. Since I'm not the body, I can't take any credit for what the body is doing. All I can do is take credit that I'm not interfering with Krishna's purpose. Krishna has a purpose to bring us all back to the spiritual world. And if I agree to act as an instrument for Krishna, then Krishna will take over with his internal energy and save not only others, but Krishna will save me also. If I just agree that everyone is actually equally, has an equal opportunity, an equal right to become Krishna's servant, and I should assist them in doing that. That's my only purpose of life. Then I'll actually get free from my, then I'll actually become worthy of Krishna's compassion. When he sees, in spite of all the problems I'm faced in the material world, I simply go on for him, to please him. Then he'll become very happy and he'll give us his compassion. Tate nukampam susamikshamano. But we have to develop that vision. It's not just a theory, it's a real experience, a vision. Su, proper vision, clear vision. Su means actually broad. Like sukha means, ka means space. And when there's sukha, happiness, means there's enough space. Like if we don't eat too much, there's some space in our stomach, it's called happiness. And do means bad space. We eat too much, there's bad space, there's not enough space for the air to pass, and it passes all over the place. And we feel miserable. We feel all the pain from the bad air passing through our body. And that's called misery, because there's not enough space. So su means there's actual space. We have, our minds are open to what? Iksha means to see things properly. Mana, susa, mana with the mind, to have the right mood. We see things properly, then we develop the right mood. And when we have the right mood, susamikshamanas. What is that right mood? What is that right vision? Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakrita. Nothing is happening by accident. Krishna is completely in control. Not a blade of grass is moving without Krishna. We were never a victim. We're not a victim now. Krishna is arranging everything perfectly to help bring us back to the spiritual world, if we're willing to allow him to do that. But we have to tolerate. If we realize that everything that's happening to me is due to my past misdeeds, whatever I think is negative in my life is due to my own past misdeeds. And then, then in spite of all the problems we have, we go on trying to serve Krishna with our body, mind, and words. And then Krishna, tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ridvagvapudir vividanamaste jivete sanbukti sadesabhaya. Then one becomes worthy of going back to the spiritual world, inheriting the spiritual kingdom. So it's a process. We have to understand that when there's problems, then it's the greatest opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. Generally, when we go through life, we think everything's all right. If there's enough prasadam, the womb is warm, we have a place to sleep, everything's fine, everything. But then we don't take shelter of Krishna, because what's the sense of taking shelter of Krishna? I got everything I need. I'll call Krishna when there's some problem. Why bother him? And then when there's some problem, finally, oh, that's right, who to turn to? I'll try Krishna and see if that works. Help, Krishna, help. It didn't work. Let me go back to my mom. Maybe she'll help. Someone has to develop the vision to see that the only real shelter is Krishna. Even our mom has to take shelter of Krishna to help us. She can't do it independently. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, about this equality, how to properly understand that we are all equal?
That has to be revealed to us by Krishna. And that's revealed by utilizing our Krishna's energies that Krishna has given us and engaging them in his service. And then when we do that, then he becomes pleased and he reveals himself. And as Krishna reveals himself, then we see things as they are. And part of that is, or as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, tadvidi prani patena pari prashena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So submission, service, and inquiry. And the result is yajgyatvana punamaham evam yasasi pandava yesham putanadrakshami yash. It's kind of a tug and twister there. Yajgyatvana punamaham evam yasasi pandava yena bhutani sheshani drakshas yatnini atomayi. When you've learned the truth, you'll see that all of the entities were part of me, and that they're within me, and that they belong to me, that they're mine. So when Krishna reveals himself, then everything is seen properly. Everything is seen in relation to Krishna. One is able to understand that nothing is going on outside of Krishna's will. then one can see everyone is, how is it says, samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinasyava vinashantam yak pashyati sapashyati samam pashyanti sarvatra samam pasitam ishram ehinasyatmanatmanam tatoyiti puram gatim. One who sees the Supersoul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the Supersoul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, he actually sees. That was pretty quick, wasn't it? One who sees the Supersoul accompanying this individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the Supersoul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. So if everyone is not their body, and after the end of the body no one is destroyed, then what's the difference between one soul and the next? Samam pashyanti sarvatra samam vashitam ishram ehinat yatmanatmanam tatoyati param gatim. One who sees a super soul equally present everywhere and every living being does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches his transcendental destination. So Krishna is everywhere, he's equal. Someone who gets the body of a Brahmin, someone gets the body of a chandala, a dog eater, or an elephant, according to their desires, that's all. The soul, because he's dovetailing his desires with a certain mode of nature, gets a certain body. But he doesn't change. But he has to experience that body through his consciousness. Therefore he may enjoy or suffer according to his desires. But Krishna is equal. He'll give someone a body of a Brahmin if he has the right desires, or the body of a dog if he develops those desires. Krishna doesn't interfere with our desires. Anything else? Khala, Granthara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.